Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Ms. Muggsy Show. Dr. Sam Muggsy. Woo! Anyway, I'm kind of goofy tonight because I'm really excited about this show. But before I get started, there's a couple of things that I'd like to bring up. Number one is Rose is always here to work in my chat room, make sure that she answers any questions. And she's just the best friend ever. I mean, she's just there. I don't have to ask her. I know what's going on. And she's going to protect that room probably better than I would. So thank you, Rose, for being who you are. I just love you to pieces. Second of all is, this is kind of important. This is a real important show for me because there's two reasons why I do radio or do what I do, and it doesn't involve money at all. As a matter of fact, I pay to do this, and I want the freedom and the luxury of not being associated with a network or anything. We can do our own thing over here, kind of keep it small. It's our little secret. But I do this for two main reasons. Number one is to empower you guys to have a home where you guys can go, feel comfortable. You don't feel like you're the oddball or going crazy because there's a lot of people out there that just aren't on the same frequency we are. We want to learn. We want to be part of that first group, and we're really stretching to break out of our confinements. And sometimes it takes bravery. It takes courage. It takes a stable foundation. And I want to provide that for you guys. I put myself out there to really branch out and go as far as I can. And sometimes it's really kind of crazy. But then years later, we start to catch up with it. So that's kind of cool. I like that. I don't have a problem with that at all. And my reward for that is I get emails of people that have said how much I've helped them. And to me, you can't put a price on that. That is the most rewarding thing that I think anybody could get, is when you get a letter or something that says, you helped me. I just love that. And then, of course, I don't live their lives for them. They did the hard work themselves. They did the research. They just went forward and made those tough choices in their lives to better themselves, which, again, is so rewarding that I got to be on that implement phase. And so I dig that a lot. That's why I'm here. It's why I incarnated. And I really cherish this moment that I have with the listeners. And I appreciate the fact that you guys are willing to give me your time. You're not criticizing. You're open-minded, and you'll go research it. I'm not perfect. I still have skin. I make mistakes, too. But it's kind of nice that we have this safe little group that we can go and explore other things. So second, what I really enjoy is that we can build trust with each other. We have this unsaid spoken agreement where you guys let me be human and I respect you for being human, and we still pick up and we keep going. And even though we might get knocked on our derrieres every now and then, but we brush ourselves off, we come back together and we start moving again along. So for those two reasons, I just love my job. I love being on the air. I love helping people, and I love empowering you guys. It's just, it's awesome. And that leads me into my guest this evening. Dermot Kelly called me on the air. He's probably still trying to call in. I'm waiting for him. But he called me on the air about 2 years ago, and I gave him a reading. And of course, at the time, you don't really understand what ramifications that reading is going to have. And just so you guys know, I'm a phone line, okay? I love you, and I guess your higher selves know, and that's why I'm able to access some of the information that I can. And they only give me the bits and pieces that you guys really need. If you're stuck and your higher self is saying, okay, give them this little bit because this is going to unstick them. And that's kind of what happened with Dermot Kelly. He was in a time in his life where he was questioning a lot of things, and he started looking around and noticing that he wasn't like everybody else, that there was some things that were different, and he really couldn't put his finger on it until he called into the show. And I have to laugh because everybody makes a point of saying that one question, because I only let people ask one question. So he did ask that one question, and whatever I said really hit home with him, and he started making some changes in his life, and he started more valuing his thoughts from a different perspective, that he had a soul origination from somewhere else, and that gave him a permission slip to try new things and have more courage and realize that he wasn't crazy or he wasn't weird just because he was different. So I really appreciate that. So he's trying to call in right now. He's having a little bit of difficulty. So as soon as he gets on the air, I'll turn him on. Now, what happened was, this is also kind of synchronistic, and remember this new paradigm that we're in. When you're manifesting things, which I'm trying to help you guys learn, when you are successful at manifesting, you'll know that you're successful because synchronicities start to happen. And it can be just bam, in one day, in one minute. You might take a year, 2 years, 3 years to develop a plan of what you would like to see for your future, and then bam, all of a sudden, in one day, it can all come together. So it's important to watch those synchronicities. When you see those times, those specific times showing up and it really resonates with you, 11-11, 4-4-4, 2-2-2, all of those, we know that those numbers are actually wake-up calls for you. So there is something happening internally, a code that is actually waking you up. So pay attention to those. I had an epiphany a couple of days ago that I wanted to share quickly, and I want you guys to not only look at your own lives, but others too. Blindly, we have been putting things together in our lives and developing whatever we've been, like little squirrels squirreling away our nuts. And all of a sudden, what your guys are doing now with the new energies is you're pulling back a curtain to see what you have created for your future. And there are some people that are pulling that curtain back and not really liking what they have created. And in some cases, or a lot of cases, people have sort of railroaded them into dead-end alleys. And other people, we're just getting going. So take a sit in your sit in your seat, and just look at all that work that you've been doing all your life, and sometimes you don't even know why. Then, if you pull your magic curtain open, look at the future that you've created for yourself. I can give you a quick analogy. There is somebody that I know that is 54 years old, and he told me that he's on the downward swing of his life, that he's now starting to prepare for throwing in the towel because he has no education, he doesn't have a job, he lives in a trailer, he doesn't have much success with women because he doesn't have anything to offer, he has a ton of stinking thinking, and what happens is when you don't really believe in yourself, people turn the other way and they start manipulating and grasping people around them and trying to mandatory make them stay in their lives in some form or fashion. And so this is what he's done. He's only 54 and he's ready to throw in the towel because there's no place for him to go. He didn't take care of his body. His teeth are falling out. His health is horrible, so I don't think he's going to be around very long. But I just started looking at his life, and if you pull the curtain back, you can see that he really hasn't prepared for much of a future for himself. And whatever future you guys want, please, 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 do your preparation, do your planning, find out, is that what you want, is that what you're looking for? So you're the one pulling that curtain back. So, okay, I think I know, I think this is him, hold on. Dermont, is this you?
It sure is.
Yay, I told your story, I've been talking like a maniac. Welcome to the show.
Sorry for that, Sam. I think I was already logged into Skype, and because of that, I couldn't get through, so I had to log out and do it again. So, you know, I'm just getting used to all this technology side of things.
Well, you might as well get ready, because it sounds like you're going to have a lot to offer in the future.
I'm speechless, to be honest, trying to get my head around it all. Yeah.
It's kind of fun. Do me two favors. Number one, talk into your mic a little bit more, or speak into your mic a little bit more so we can hear you better. And number two, can you share your story about, just briefly, because then I want to ask you a bunch of other questions, but briefly, how we met and why we have such a strong connection.
Okay, first of all, is the sound right now?
Fine. Thank
okay. I think going back about 5 years ago when I turned 50, I had a bit of an injury. It was a double groin injury, and I had some time off work, and someone gave me a David Icke link, and that was the start of my awakening. And, you know, of course, like everyone else, I got angry with the establishment. I always had this thing against, you know, the elites for one reason or another, and I didn't know why. And when I started to find out about this, I did a lot more research, and I come across a lot of YouTube videos with Alfred, Lisa Harrison and yourself and George Kavassalis and so on and so on. And when I was on holidays a couple of years ago, I thought I'd tune into your radio station and just, you know, see what's going on. And that particular day you were giving readings. And if I can remember correctly, we had to ask one question. And a bit like the guy you mentioned earlier who's 54, well, I'm 55 now. But back in the old days, I felt like no matter what I tried, no matter what I planned, there was, you know, something was holding me back. And I couldn't understand what it was, you know. And I said, I think my question to you at the time was, have I got a guardian angel? And if so, is he having trouble looking after me? Because for one reason or another, I felt like I was trying to be an entrepreneur in one direction and do well for myself. But no matter how hard I tried, I could never do it like anyone else. And I just wanted to know what was going on. Well, that's what blew me away, was when you did the reading for me and told me, well, first of all, do you want me to tell the audience what you told me?
Yes, please, go ahead. I have no secrets.
Okay. I just thought I'd double check there. First of all, you said I don't have one, I don't have two, I have 26 different star groups that are looking after me and that I can't be touched. And the reason I was guided away from being successful in the way we all think success is, with lots and lots of money, I was actually guided in the spiritual direction where there is no money, where I'm going to have to learn some really hard lessons. And, yeah, I learnt some hard lessons. I'm the eldest of six children, and we were never well off, but spiritually we were as rich as anybody. And, of course, you know, in my own life, most of my life I've worked in factories on the shop floor. Could never progress because I could never talk to the upper management because I was always resentful of the way they did things. You know, you had to toe the party line. You had to go out with certain groups of people, this, that, and the other. And I treated everybody with the same level of respect. And when I saw these people, you know, doing things for their own benefit, and not for the benefit of everybody, I decided to pull away from that. And that was my core essence. My core essence is, and I still believe it to this day, is to help as many people as I can. People want to take me the wrong way, which they have many, many times, then that's their problem, not mine. And quite often, people will judge you by their own agendas, not yours. So I think I've digressed a little bit off the subject there too, but not only did you tell me I had the 26 different star seeds looking after me, you also mentioned that my calling was to look after, I was one of 54 people worldwide called the recovery team, and we were to sit, watch and observe, and we're all, you know, in different countries, different age groups, and obviously male and female, with all different types of perspectives on life, and we're basically here to observe and report back. How, I'm not too sure, but maybe we do it, you know, in our sleep or spiritually, I don't know, or our thoughts, perhaps. But it's to help with the ascension process. And you basically said to me that that will be my new career, not only on this planet, but for future planets. And that totally blew me away because I had no idea that... I was an ancient soul, because you told me that also. It did make sense. You know, when I look back on my life, there are many, many different things that have happened in my life that I blew away because of normal conventional thinking. And just recently, I actually broke my elbow at work. And again, I had time off. And I thought I'd contact Alfred just for a private chat. And Alfred said to me, he said, "This sounds very interesting, Dermot. Would you like to record this?" And he says, "We don't have to put it to air if you don't want to. You can review it, whatever." And I thought, you know, Alfred's a lovely guy. And I thought, yeah, I'll do it. Because at the end of the day, if it helps others to realize they're not alone and that they're in control of their own lives, and they don't have to be put down by other people's thinking. And I thought, yeah, I'll help out. So Alfred videotaped it, and I believe it's got over 8,000 hits, which absolutely blew me away because I never thought it would get that many hits. And, you know, there's quite a few negative comments, but you'd expect that from conventional people, conventional thinking. But there's a lot of people that contacted me since and said, you know, we have had those experiences too. Thank you. Thank you so much for, you know, for coming out and telling us. And I've now quite a few more friends because of that. And, you know, if I can help just those guys and whoever is listening to this in the future, that would be absolutely fantastic. So that's just a short wrap-up. Is there any other questions?
How funny. Now I get to be the one asking the questions.
Yes.
Irony. yeah, I have questions. Okay, because the reason why you and I put our heads together and wanted to do a show is because we want people to feel comfortable in their own skins and realize that they might be unique or different. And so that's kind of what we're where we're headed. But I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment. Let's say, okay, because, you know, there's no way to really, at this point in time, validate what I said, whether it's accurate or not. And I don't remember my readings at all. Whatever comes through, it's just like I'm a telephone line and it's gone. I don't have a clue what I told you. As you say it, I'll remember little bits and pieces. But let's say, devil's advocate, okay, there's no way to validate that. But what I wanted to know is, regardless, did this is where I find it helpful is, did it resonate with you? Forget everybody else. Did it resonate with you?
Okay. Initially, I'd have to say no. But the more I thought about it, and then I started reflecting on other things that happened in my life, yes, it does resonate very, very strongly, because what actually happened was, as I was talking with Alfred just recently, I mentioned that I saw a UFO when I was about 12, I think 11 or 12 years of age, and the three or four other people that were with me never saw it. So I had no witnesses to validate it other than the 6 o'clock news the next day. So... And I did see a regression that Mary Rodwell did for Peter Maxwell Slattery. And when I was watching his regression, I realized he had missing time. And the actual incident that I had missing time. And it got me thinking, because for many years as a 12-year-old or 11-year-old, you know, I put it to the back of my mind and blew it away and said, no, I don't believe in UFOs, because I wanted to fit in like everybody else. But deep down, I knew I did. So there was a conflict of interest in the back of my head. So naturally, I started to investigate. And then I realized that what you're feeling deep down in your heart is true. If you think that something has happened, it most probably has. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to know all the answers, but what I suggest is check it out. So when Mary gets back from the UK, I've already got in touch with her. I'm going to ask her for a regression and see if I can figure out what actually happened at that time, because I did put it to one side. And just a weird little incident happened when I was 3 years of age. My father was wallpapering in the lounge, and he had the ladder up against the wall, and he'd rolled the carpet back. And the fire was, you know, in those days you had open heat fires. The coals were, you know, it wasn't a raging fire. It was just like the coals were smouldering a little bit, but they were still very hot underneath. And he called out to my mum to bring a bucket or something like that. And of course, being the child I was, I said, I'll get it. I just ran. and I tripped over the carpet and fell into the open heat fire. Well, of course, there was pandemonium. My dad was screaming out to my mum, get him, and while he was trying to get down the ladder, they picked me out of the fire and brushed me off. And the funny thing was, when I actually fell into the fire at the age of 3 and a half, I didn't feel burnt. I didn't feel anything. Because consciously, I never had the idea of pain when you fall into a fire. So because I wasn't conditioned, it never interfered with my life whatsoever. Now, you might say, well, how can that be? Well, you know, if we tap into how wonderful we are as human beings, you can well understand it. And I suggest people do their research on that. But I never had any burn marks, and I knew that I was safe, and it was a weird, weird incident. But, you know, couple that with the UFO sighting, and in more recent times, you know, I've had the... actually, when you mentioned to me in the reading, you said I was clairvoyant and clairaudient. One incident that stood out in particular was in 1982, when I was in Ireland visiting relatives with my sister, and my dad's cousin, who my dad was very close to as children, he took us up this, it was a lovely green hill, and up on top of the hill was a very old tavern. And it didn't have a roof anymore, because back in those days it would have had a thatched roof. And it was a very, very, very old building. And they used to play there as kids. And he just took us in there. We were walking up the staircase and across the landing. And I said to my sister and my dad's cousin, I said, can you hear that? And they said, hear what? And I said, well, I could hear the clanging of glasses. I could hear the chit-chat as if we were walking into a real tavern. And I, you know, I could hear the laughter. I could hear the chit-chat. I could hear the clanging of glasses. I said, it as clear as day, I could hear it walking up the steps. And then all of a sudden, it just stopped. And again, they said, no, didn't hear a thing. So when you mentioned that I was clairaudient, I knew straight away that did resonate with me, because that was an incident that happened many, many years before. I have heard voices. I've heard my voice call many times. I've had instances where people have prodded me in the back or pulled on a shirt or tugged on my ear. obviously, someone's trying to get my attention. And this has happened many, many times. And, of course, because I know that there's no one there, conventional thinking suggests, well, there's no one there, just brush it off. It might have been a fly. It might have been, I don't know, the way I was sitting, or maybe a muscle spasm. But, you know, you sort of blow these things away thinking, you know, that's what it is. But I guess when you do more research into how you feel with the heart, and spiritually, you start realizing that someone's trying to contact you. And I honestly believe, Sam, that when I actually fell over at work just recently and broke my left arm, as I was tumbling, I actually corrected my fall, and then it felt like I was pushed again. And you know what? I honestly don't think the synchronicity of the whole event was so that I could talk to Alfred and get the message out. And then, of course, Alfred talked to you and you realized, ah, yes, we've got to get on to this and help people realize that if they've got something that they need to go within and utilize their energies and power or whatever, empower themselves, then yes, they need to research it. So yes, it did resonate. So initially, because I sort of used conventional thinking, no, it probably didn't. But the more I thought about it and the instances that have happened since, Yes, it resonates very, very clearly. And I must admit, you know, I've always, whether I knew it or not, I've always watched people rather than just be a social person and go up and talk to people. I've tended to sit back and watch people. And because of that, you know, people have always been able to come up to me and tell me their stories. And I've always been able to listen, and I've always been able to give advice. And I could never understand why people gravitated towards me to ask for advice, because I often felt like I was had low self-esteem. So it kind of, you know, back in the old days, I guess it sort of confused me, I guess. But as I get older, it starts to make more sense. So there you go.
No, Dermot. As you're speaking, it dawns on me that every time they want you to do something or you're supposed to have, like, free time, you hurt yourself. And you might want to just do stuff without getting hurt.
Yes. You know, that dawns on me, too.
Because I've noticed that in my own life when they're trying to get my attention or move me, you know, my health will go down or my money gets pulled away, and I've never broken anything, but it seems like we've got a pattern here that maybe when it's time for you to move forward, and you are helping people because there's so many people out there. I know even with the psychic ability and having intuition and being able to see things beforehand or seeing somebody that's crossed over and get messages, I mean, that's been so brainwashed in our society that to have a permission slip is so powerful. So that's what I want to ask you is, with the information, and we're still finding out how accurate, and just so you guys know, imagine a million pieces of scrap fabric that's then sewn into a quilt. When I do these readings, I'm only pulling out one piece. That's it. One piece. And I'm only allowed to see it from one perspective that will help that individual. That's all I can do. And it's not up to me. It's your higher selves that are allowing me access to see this to help you. So when we did the reading, I'm just curious if, okay, maybe not right away, but later, it gave you the confidence to want to go research, if it piqued your curiosity, and did it empower you in any way?
Yes. Yes, it did, because there's so many things you touched on there that, first of all, up to the age of 50, I was fast asleep like everybody else. And all the incidences, like the clairaudience, the falling in the fire, seeing the UFO, all the nudges and the seeing the shadow people run, you know, through the corner of my eye and all that sort of stuff. They were trying to get my attention for 50 years. And that's why I believe, you know, I did a hernia because and a double at that, because they really, really wanted me to realize what my job was here on Earth. So it was severe enough for me to take time off to listen. And because I was researching and sort of half believing, I guess it was another nudge in the right direction, because this time I'm starting to do something about it and I am paying more attention. So, yes, it does empower me that I can help others, because as I digest what's going on in the world, I can take a step back and not focus on being angry, because being angry at what's happening in the world is only focusing more on the negative energies. And what I want to project is love and peace and happiness. And if you can focus on those things alone, I mean, what we don't see, you see, this is crucial information here. What you see on your TV screens, you know, the 6 o'clock news and that, is all the negative stuff. What you don't see all over the world, behind closed doors, is people are actually sick and tired of all of this crap that's going on. And they're actually being nice to one another. They're actually taking time to enjoy nature. They're actually taking time to pay more attention to people instead of getting caught up in the fast life that we live in today. And that is why the planet as a whole is awakening. They might not be awake fully, but the more and more people that actually wake up and realize and take note, please, whatever you do, if you're getting these nudges, don't let it get too far like I did. I've had two major operations after the age of 50, and believe me, it's not a good time of life to be having operations, because up until then, I'd never had injuries or anything like that. And, you know, as you get older, you're a little bit slower, and your reflexes aren't as quick. I thought I could bounce off a concrete floor, but obviously not. So, for your own sakes, look after yourselves, pay attention, do your research, and send the love vibrations out there. Because the more we do it, the more it magnifies. And the forces that are out there that are helping us, they are absolutely overjoyed with what we're doing. And we can and will turn it around. I hope I've helped there, Sam.
That was beautiful. You know, I thought just for fun, because this type of radio show that I want to do is a multi-dimensional show. It's not a 2D show. So what I thought we could do that would be really fun is before you have your regression with Mary, and then later we'll bring Mary on and we can talk about your regression, but let me tap into you, because I know, and I'm not doing it this time, you are. So what I want to know is, where do you think your soul's home originates from? Which planet do you think best fits who you are?
Okay, in my research, when I found out that there was 26 different star groups, I thought, okay, what are they? And then I heard about star seeds. Then I heard about Dolores Cannon, as well as Mary Rodwell, doing some great work. And about the first, second, and third waves of people. So I was doing a lot of research. And when I looked at all the different star groups, the one that stood out for me the most was Acturian, Pluto's constellation. And if I'm correct, and I'm probably wrong, but it's something like 13.6 or 7 million light years away. And they're very, very ancient souls. So that is what resonated with me. I mean, the Pleiadians and the Andromedans resonate also, but not to the same degree. So that would be my answer.
I'm actually picking up very similar stuff. Not that what I have to say is important, but I was getting that you did travel to the Pleiades quite a bit. You like to go there and visit, and I think you might have had a sweetie there. So just we'll have to see and ask Mary.
Can I just interject there for a sec?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, sorry, could I just interject there for a second?
Oh, please do.
You know when you mentioned a sweetie in the Pleiades? Here's something that you may not know, but the ancient Aborigines, right, Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the work Forgotten Origins by Stephen and Evan Strong here in Australia.
No, I've never heard of it. No.
Okay. These guys are doing fantastic work here in Australia, and they've unearthed some incredible information about the ancient Egyptians and the ancient Aborigines getting together and doing trades, and they've got physical evidence and drawings of UFOs going back 160,000 plus years. So, you know, it blows just about every theory out of the water, and it's no wonder academia is not catching up with it. So what the reason I was getting to that was the fact that the ancient Aborigines mention the Pleiadians. And even though I was born in England, we did come to Australia in 1969. And here in Adelaide, again, I've done my research. Adelaide, the Adelaide Hills and the Flinders Ranges is a very special place for the Aborigines, because the underneath of the clay soil, it's all crystal. And anyone that's done their research on going to the fourth and fifth dimensions will realize that we, when we ascend, go into the crystalline bodies. So it's no wonder I'm starting to wake up here in Adelaide. And through Stephen and Evan's research, one of the Aboriginal elders lives on an island just off the main coast. And that's where the ancient souls used to go to die. And they went to reside there. So there's a lot of connections. And when I contacted Stephen and Evan, I saw Stephen and Evan being interviewed by Alfred. And I contacted them and helped them get onto David Icke's show, The People's Voice. And they've still got contacts, and they're still trying to get those shows happening. So, again, it's all spiritual, and it's all, you know, the Pleiades. So, yes, I do have a connection there somehow. I still feel that Arcturus is where I originated from, and I still feel that Pleiades is probably number two. And the Andromedans, I can relate to them as well. I don't know how much, but I can relate to them. Anyway, I'll let you... Sorry for interjecting.
No, that was beautiful. The Andromedans, you studied a lot underneath them. That's the connection. So let's check with Mary and let's see if that comes out. But don't use your research on this. I'm going to ask you a question, and what I want you to do is the first answer that pops up in your head, just say it, okay? Don't think about it. Don't use your education. Just listen and spit out to me, okay? What dimension are you from?
Wow. I would have thought the sixth, or maybe the ninth. Six or nine, not sure.
What type of food or diet are you used to back home?
You're not going to like me, Sam.
You ate worms.
No, not worms. No. No. I have a meat diet because my father, his father, and his father were all shepherds. They were all butchers back in Ireland.
I mean on your planet, sweetie.
Oh, sorry. Oh, crikey. I couldn't tell you, to be honest. I totally got off subject, so my thinking was totally wrong there. I thought you meant
these questions are all going to be related to the planet and where you come from. And the reason why I want this recorded is because then we're going to compare it to what Mary gets from you.
Okay. So ask the question again. Sorry.
Okay. What? And just spit it out. Don't use your thinking. Just tell me what you hear. What diet do you follow in the Arcturian planet?
Energy. I can't think of anything else but energy.
Then that's probably the right answer. How much education do you get when you are growing up as an Arcturian child? How much can you, or how much did you get?
I think instinctively my answer would be I was very eager to learn and I got as much help as I wanted. They were very eager to teach and I was very eager to learn.
That's very normal for other planets. I think this planet is the only one that I know of that they don't promote education. It's the craziest thing.
And
okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, sweetie.
And I also think that not only do they educate, they give you the most wonderful education. You know, they really go out of their way to educate.
You actually had hologram education where you would study other planets and stuff, but you could actually see in the hologram. So all your education was specially tutored for you and what you wanted to develop and learn in yourself, because it was all about this stuff is just coming to me all of a sudden. It was all about what you wanted to do when you grow up, which is like, you know, 1,000 years or something. And so you tailored your education and you had a hologram that you could actually experience, see, and smell. So it seemed like you were there and part of whatever you were learning. It was a really unique type of environment.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I can resonate with that because I don't know when I felt this and I don't know when this came into my life, but, you know, a sudden came into my mind and I can't even imagine it felt like I was in a room, but it was an invisible room. There was no visible walls or floors. And I was with three entities. One was a white glowing gown with long white hair. And we were looking down at Earth. That could be a hologram, I don't know. But then all of a sudden, it was as if we were looking in to a lounge room. And the information that came to me was I saw my mother and father in the lounge room. And I think my mother was preparing the table for tea, and my dad maybe just come in from work or something like that. And I believe they showed me that. And said, is this where you want to go? And they showed me what was going to be my life and how it was going to pan out and all that sort of stuff. And I said, yes. And I had two options. I had an easy option. I could have gone the easy option and been more well off. Or I could go where I went and it would be a lot harder, but I would learn so much more spiritually and it would help me in the future. So, you know, and that came to me one day just out of the blue. And I fobbed it off because I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what it was all about. Trying to talk to people was an absolute nightmare because if I can't understand it, how can I explain it to others? So, since then, I've done a lot of research, and now I can actually help others. So there you go.
Do me a favor. Me, you, and Alfred have this really strange connection. Something's going on. But just briefly, you talked about your teachers in the white gown. Can you describe that again?
The teacher... I don't even remember seeing the face, to be honest. All I remember seeing is the white gown, long flowing gown, bright white, and long white hair. And the other two, I believe, were in different colours. I can't picture the colours now, but they were in different colours. But they looked like they were assistants, so to speak. And they were going through, I believe, my incarnation to this planet at this time. And they said, you've got two options. And like I explained, and the guy in the white, he was emanating such beautiful energy of love, light, and guidance. And he, all I can remember his words were, are you sure you want to pick that one? And when I said yes, he then told me, he said, this will help you. He said, it will be a harder life emotionally. Spiritually, you will gain so much more out of it. So I hope that helps, but that's all I can remember at the moment.
Well, the reason why I wanted you to mention that, and we're running down to the last few minutes of the show, but I wanted you to mention that because I had a man and two women that appeared to me that gave me Alfred's story the day before our show, and then I went on the air and told the story that Alfred described, and he even mentioned stuff before I was on, before he got on the air and heard what I had said. But there was two women and a man that appeared to me that looked just like you described, and it was that white hair, and I've had other beings show up before, but that was the first time I've seen them. And so when you mention that, me and you and Alfred are connected again. So there's something going on I'm not really sure about.
The two assistants, I couldn't tell you if they were male or female. Sorry.
That's okay. Really quick, because I'm running out of time. What, in your sixth sense, not research, but your sixth sense, what happened to the dinosaurs?
Oh, wow. I believe, don't know. I really couldn't tell you. Maybe it's because they were reptilian and they were destroying the planet. That's the only thing that resonates with me. So they had to be taken away or destroyed one way or another.
Okay.
That's the only thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Could be totally wrong.
We'll see. I just don't believe in the Big Bang Theory as far as it's said or taught to us, and I don't believe that the solar flare killed the, it doesn't make sense because we have a protective bubble around this planet. There's no way that they were killed like that. And the creators of this planet or any planet, they're not going to kill off their life. They're going to move them somewhere else. So I have a different theory. I just wanted to see what you said. But, okay, last in about 5 minutes, the show's going to be wrapping up. We got a little bit longer than that. But I want to know what you see for the development and evolvement of mankind. Where do you think that we're going? What's going to happen to us? Well, what are we going to experience?
I instinctively feel that a large percentage, and I say two-thirds of us, are already awake to some degree or another, and that we're going to go on into the higher dimensions, and those that are like us, that are far more awakened, will be buzzing around helping people here, there, and everywhere. And the other people will move up to the higher dimensions to do the learning. The other third, I believe, are going to reincarnate for another 26,000 years and and learn their lessons all over again, because they haven't learned, they don't want to learn, and they're going to have, if they want to get to the higher dimensions and ascend, that's what they're going to have to do. So I believe that the majority of mankind is already well on its way to ascension.
I'm just curious. Tell me, what was the last dream you had? What kind of dreams are you having at this time in your life?
It's funny, you know, I used to dream a lot when I was younger, but I don't dream a lot now. Yet last night, you could not imagine what I was dreaming. I was thinking about this show, and I honestly believe that even though my body was asleep, my spirit was very active around the world. And I've never done out-of-body experience that I can remember physically, but many, many times I've been out there spiritually, I know, because I get back and I'm absolutely exhausted. So I'm out there telling everyone about the show, last night my dream was that, you know, everyone was going to concentrate on this show. I don't know what made me think that. I don't even know why. But yeah, that was very interesting. So,
well, thank you for coming on to the show. That's funny. You're out advertising the show for us on another dimension. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dermot. I got 1 minute left. This show was really helpful. We're going to stay in touch because there's some bizarre things happening between me, you, Mary Rodwell, and Alfred. So I'm sure we'll be led to come back together. So take care. Thank you for your time. And I really appreciate all your wisdom you shared with us tonight.
Sam, thank you very much. It's been an absolute honor and a privilege to be on your show. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, bye. And don't break anything anymore.
I'll try not to.
Bye, sweetie.
I'll try.
Oh, sorry, I cut him short. Anyway, I hope you guys are listening to your higher selves, because they do take your money away. They do start taking your health away to get your attention. So if you keep seeing signs of the same thing over and over again, you might want to pay attention. Start journaling it. And if in doubt, you know, come to the chat room, put it into the chat room, and tell Rose about it. And we'll see where it goes. Have a great week. Be safe. Love yourself and love those around you that deserve it the most. Okay? Thanks, guys. See you next week.